again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad that you've joined us today. We are discussing an important message, and if you are a return listener, we welcome you. If you have downloaded from our website this particular teaching, we're glad that you came, and we're glad that you did. If you are a brand new listener today, we invite you to stay tuned. We're going to go ahead and give you the heading for our teaching today, the foundational title of our ministry today is Your God Big Enough? It's both a challenge and an opportunity to have our faith stand firm in the days of trouble and test, and those days will surely come to everyone, and Christians are absolutely no exception. I wish I could tell you today that becoming a Christian would alleviate all of the pressures of living in a faulty body in a fallen world, but it simply will not. We have a promise that you would never find in a promise box anywhere. There's all those little promise boxes with scriptures of God's promises. And one you will never find in any of those boxes is this: in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We don't like that promise because it involves the word tribulation, which in the Greek is thelpsis, and it simply means anguish and pressure. There will be happenings and events around our lives that create anguish and pressure, and no one is going to escape those pressures of living in a faulty body and in a fallen world. But there is a sufficient grace and for every one of us that face these things. And this is where the Christian is differentiated from the world. They are, according to the scripture, without hope and without God in this present world. We are never without God, for He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And therefore, we're never without hope, which biblically defined is the glad anticipation of future good. Weeping may last for a night, the Old Testament declares. So there will be times of tears for Christians. But we know something while we are weeping. Joy cometh in the morning. Even if a loved one passes away, we weep. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He was getting ready to raise him from the dead, but he saw the pain in his sisters. He saw the heartache and heartbreak that death brings in a family. And he identified with us to the degree that Christ wept at Lazarus' tomb. But then he proceeded to raise him from the dead. And I tell you, there's a great getting up morning coming one of these days. Amen. When we're going to be reunited with that mom, that dad, that child, that husband, that wife, that brother, that sister, that friend. That day is coming. And we know while we are weeping that day is coming. Praise God. So we just want to get a foothold for our faith today that stands the test of living in a faulty body in a fallen world. Is your God big enough? Is He big enough to sustain you through the pressures of life, the problems of life, the pitfalls of life, the temptations, the tests? That is the question. Faith wants to answer that question with an affirmative yes. Amen. He is more than enough. Praise God. So stay tuned today. We're all going to be tested. We're all going to be tried. But God is faithful, and His grace is sufficient today. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope your appetite for the Word is now getting to a high, intense level so we can study together with open hearts today. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, please stay tuned today. If you don't know the Lord, you're one of those people that don't have the assurance and the consolation of a sufficient grace. And so please stay tuned. We know how bad all of these things hurt us. I'll be frank and honest with you today. Amen. Not frank and earnest from the funny papers. This is real and genuine, frank and honest with you today. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be ministering the gospel. I would not be able to have stood the things that I've experienced in my life. But there is a peace that passes understanding. There is a presence of God that gives assurance. There is a promise of God in His Word that gives us a sense of hope when it looks like everything is hopeless. And when we tap into those resources as children of God, we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. When that statement was made by the Apostle Paul, he wasn't talking about walking on water like Jesus did. He wasn't talking about turning water to wine. He was talking about going through life's tests and Christian persecutions and being able to continue that forward momentum and keep the victory and keep the joy and peace of God alive in his heart. And actually, it should be rendered, I am equal to anything. In other words, whatever the test is, the grace of God will cause me to be able to go through that circumstance of life and keep the victory and maintain and sustain a testimony of God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. So we want you to stay tuned, because until we leave this world, the promise from Jesus is, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. One translation said, I have robbed it of power to harm you. So I don't know who today is shaking in your faith, but this question that begs to be answered in our hearts so we can get a firm foundation in faith is our God big enough to handle whatever comes in our life, not by just alleviating us from going through it, but sustaining us through it. Praise God. I can't take anything. Listen, when I go to the dentist, I want the gas, I want the shot, I want everything they can possibly give me. I'm not real good at taking pressure and pain. So I need a lot of grace in my life, and God's got a lot of grace to give. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to talk about today the Almighty God who honors His covenant under the heading, Is Your God Big Enough? I'm going to read today from the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. Listen to it carefully. It says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6, But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is where you plant your feet. See, Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 is not a definition of faith per se. It is a declaration of its powers and action, of what it is, not what it is so much, but what it is. Does when it exists in our life. And the prerequisite for this kind of faith that pleases God is very, very clear. We must believe he that cometh to him for salvation, or he that cometh to him to have a prayer answered, or he that cometh to him for grace sufficient, whatever we come to God with, he that cometh to him must believe that He is. If you've got a New International, it says He exists. And it's not in the sense that there is a God. You know, you've all heard at some point in your life talked about the man upstairs, that there is actually somebody up there. Listen, it's not just a somebody. It is someone that can be known. And we have to believe not only that there is a God, but that there is a God who has defined Himself in a particular way. To believe that He is to believe that the I Am of the Old Testament is the I Am of the New Testament. And that the covenant-keeping God of Moses' day is the covenant-keeping God of our day. That the God who declared Himself to Moses to be the great I Am is the same God that we trust in the early church as well as the 21st century church. And that He will keep His covenant with our generation as faithfully and powerfully as He did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and the New Testament saints. He is, and He is a rewarder, are the prerequisites of the faith that we need in our heart, in Him. Praise God. The great He is of Hebrews 11 is the great I Am of Exodus 3. He is, and according to Jameson, Fawcett Brown, literally defines that as the true, self-existent Jehovah, as contrasted with all so-called gods which are really no gods. I believe we need to get a hold of this great truth. The great He is of Hebrews 11 is the great I Am of Exodus 3. I'm going to read from Exodus 3, 11 through 14. Listen to this. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve the Lord upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they say unto me, What is His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I'm telling you today, the great I Am of Exodus 3 is the great He is. When you believe that He is, we're talking about this revelation of God. Hallelujah. The name of God was significant to the ancient Hebrews because it comprehended in itself all that God is. The name of God is holy and awesome, and signifies His personal presence. I Am denotes what God is in Himself and what God is in His people. He is self-existent. He has His being of Himself and has no dependence upon any other. Being self-existent, He cannot but be self-sufficient, and therefore all-sufficient or all-powerful. Praise God. What God is in Himself, self-sufficient. What He is in His people, all-sufficient. I'm going to say that again. What God is in Himself is self-sufficient. And what He is in His people is all-sufficient. So when we say He is, we're saying that we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who is self-sufficient, and that He is all-sufficient, therefore, in His people. Our God, friend, is simply big enough. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said, because our trust and our faith is in Him to provide whatever we need to be delivered from or to go through whatever we face in this fallen world, in these faulty bodies, that He is. Praise God. And He's made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our God's not just big enough. He's more than enough. He is. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This is where we plant our feet. This is where we take our stand in faith. In the Jesus of the New Covenant dwelt all the fullness of Jehovah of the Old Covenant, the I Am of the Old Covenant. Listen to John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 56 through 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced, Jesus said, to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, which means surely, surely, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. He is I am. All the people who are not Pharisees believe that. His name is not the great I can be. He is not the great I used to be. He's not the great I'm able to be. He's not the great I want to be. He's the great I am of all time, of all eternity. He is not the great I will be someday. He's the great I am. Jesus Christ, the Bible declares, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. According to Hebrews 13:8, He's never lost any of His power. People need to be taught that Jesus died on the cross for more than our preaching pretty sermons and singing beautiful songs of a Christ of the good old days. He died on the cross for people's deliverance. He is mindful. He cares more for you than a mother does for her baby, according to Isaiah 49:15. He's ready today, right now, to help you, to help me. If sin is the issue, God stands ready to forgive it. If you are bound with habits, God stands ready to deliver you. If you are broken in your hearts and your body, God stands ready to heal you. Hallelujah, because He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's where faith takes its stand. Someone said one time that fear knocked on the door. I sent faith to answer. And faith said, there's no one there. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone has to prove to his generation that God is wonderful in our day. Moses had to prove to the people that God was not only a great God in Adam's day, but He was alive in his day also. Elijah proved to the false prophets of Baal that God was wonderful in his day. Elisha showed the people that God did not die when Elijah was translated. Hallelujah. Jesus was continually proving to the Pharisees that God was still alive in his day. Hallelujah. Amen. When John the Baptist sent a servant, what he had declared about Jesus was so absolutely important that he couldn't dare to miss it. He doubted his own words and wanted confirmation. I said, this is the Messiah. I said, this is the promised one. Go and ask him. Go and ask him. Are you really him, or should we look for another? And the servants of John the Baptist come back while he was imprisoned and said that Jesus said, go tell John that the blind see, that the deaf hear, that the lame walk, and he will know it's me. Praise God. Friend of mine, I want you to know this gospel did not come in word only. This was not just trying to intellectually convince anyone that we have the corner on truth. But my Bible said it came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. And it came in much assurance. Peter and John were faced with the same job. The religious people were willing to believe that Jesus could perform miracles back in A.D. 30, but they wanted to stop Peter and John if they preached he was still merciful and powerful. They proved that His mercy endured to every generation. Friends, we serve a mighty God, and we serve a merciful God, and we have a God who saves this very day. We have a God who delivers and sets free. Chains can be broken from your life. A God who hears and a God who responds to our cry. We serve the great I Am today. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. We work in perfect harmony and tandem. One God expressed and manifest in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the God of way back then is the God of right here and now. And faith is a now thing. Now faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. John 6:35, listen to Jesus identifying with the I Am of Exodus. He said, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:7, I am the door of the sheepfold. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. John 15:1, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And oh, I love Revelation 1:8. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. I declare to you today that the I Am of the Old Covenant is the He Is of the New Covenant. And we believe today that He, this God, is, this God is, and that He is a rewarder, just like He was then, of them who diligently seek Him. We worship and serve the same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, that delivered Daniel from the lion's den, that parted the Red Sea, that was with Israel in every battle to grant victory. The God of power and might, the God of mercy and grace. His power and love has not diminished. His presence is here with us. And if you're a Christian today, it's within us. Now, here, at this moment in time in the 21st century, He is the great I Am. He is the same. You know, when Jesus ascended to go up and sit at His Father's right hand and wait until His enemies are made His footstool. The Bible said an angel appeared when Jesus ascended to His followers and said, why stand you, you men of Israel, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which you have seen go away, shall come back in like manner. This same Jesus. You know what I love about the Lord is He never changes. The Scripture says of Him in the Old Covenant that He is the Lord God of Israel, and He changes not. Society has changed. Culture has changed. Hey, friend, let's admit it and be honest. The church has changed. And I can't say it's all been for the better. Some have changed and compromised God's truth. And no one is hearing about the God who is that great I Am today. Friend of mine, I want to declare to you that He is the Lord God of Israel. And He changes not. And we're actually told not to meddle with them that are given to change. God does not have to be like a chameleon. He doesn't have to change to blend in with His environment, because His environment is not this old fallen world. that is in a state of flux, ever changing. I'm telling you, His environment is holy and eternal. Praise God, He's the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, and He doesn't change because He don't need to change. He's perfectly righteous, perfectly holy. He's a God that is so holy. The Bible said He dwells in unapproachable light. It's like a laser beam of pure light that even celestial beings, according to the Scripture, the angels that minister in His direct, distinct presence, were created with three sets of wings. With two they covered their face, Isaiah chapter 6 says. With two they covered their feet, and with two they did move about. Ah, friend of mine, to think that this mighty God that inhabits eternity, that dwells in unapproachable light, would invite you and me to come and have our sins forgiven, that we might come before His very throne. Praise God. Hallelujah. And enter into His presence, that He might actually indwell us and our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost or the Holy One. Oh, friend, what a privilege and what power. Church shouldn't be some little gathering of people on Sunday morning that are all geared up to go through the same old religious ritualistic routine. Church should be an event where we enter into the presence of God and become distinctly aware of who He is. Praise God, as the Word of God declares Him to be. I'm telling you, the great I Am of the old covenant is the great He is of the new covenant. God is God, and Red Seas can still part if necessary. Hallelujah. Jericho walls can fall. I'm not talking about literal cities. I'm talking about whatever the barriers are in your life to His blessing. Those walls can fall down flat when we shout victory in the mighty name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm excited today about this message because my God has to be big enough to deliver me from, or big enough and merciful enough to take me through. But as long as He is with me, I shout His name in faith when the battles come and the trials come. My God is more than enough. He is El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Well, we love you today. Listen, friend, if you listen to this point of the broadcast, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, but you want to know Him. You want your sins forgiven. You don't feel like the chains that hold you in bondage could ever be broken, that you could ever change yourself. God's not asking you to change yourself. He's asking you to change your mind. That's something you can change. You can decide right now, I do not want to go down this road any further that leads to destruction. I know where it's going to lead me. I know that, and yet I feel compelled to continue in sin. I'm telling you, you call upon the name of the Lord. Repenting of your sin don't mean you change yourself. It means you change your mind so that God can come in, forgive your sin, and change you from the inside out. Listen, the one that created the universe can work a work within you, but you've got to open the door by an act of your will and allow Him to come in and put your faith in Him today. Praise God, and all the resources of heaven will be yours. Would you bow your head right now, or bow your heart if you're driving, and say, Jesus, forgive my sin. Come into my life. Break these walls of bondage, these chains that hold me. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be destroyed by sin. I don't want to destroy those I love. Come in. Forgive my sin. I repent right now. Heal the hurt. Take away the bitterness. Set me free in Jesus' mighty name. Because I believe You are, and You are a rewarder, and I've come to seek You. Oh, friend, our time is gone. We love you so very much. If you're a Christian today, take your stand on Hebrews chapter 11. He is the I Am, exist, and He's here with us right now. We love you. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.
Creator of all things, healer of my being, through your righteousness I've been redeemed. Forgiven by your grace, your joy is my strength. When everything has changed, you stay the same.